Before I jump into the message this morning, let me say we've got two new additions. We now on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for our Saturday prayer meeting, we have childcare now available. I know a lot of people have been wanting childcare. Saturday morning to me, honestly, it's my favorite time of the entire week is to be here in prayer, because if we don't win it there, it really doesn't matter how good we do on Sunday. Everything happens on Saturday at prayer. This is a praying church, and I know how limited I am as a leader, and so we absolutely depend on God to see what's happening in our church. And then our legacy dinner next Saturday night that we've been talking about the last few weeks, we will have childcare at the legacy dinner. And so if you're planning on being with us Saturday night at 6 p.m. To just talk about legacy and what we can do and what this church is going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years, email us at legacy@coastlinechurch.org. And let us know if you're going to have children or not. We'll make sure we've got enough food and childcare available for you. You know, when we began this series 4 weeks ago, we wanted to introduce the concepts of legacy to your heart, to really let you know that your life can go way beyond yourself. And in week one, we talked about how the greatest level of fulfillment for any human being, according to psychology today, it was something developed from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is a level of transcendence where you live beyond yourself, which is in essence what living for legacy is all about. It's living beyond yourself for the good of others. And I know as your pastor, the greatest thing I can do for you is to challenge you and help you get to a level of transcendence where you're making a difference outside of yourself. And then in week two, Pastor Denny talked about treasures in heaven and how your life here impacts eternity. Jesus is going to reward you one day in heaven for the life that you lived here on earth. Last week, we talked about faith and how we don't want to live in a realm of the obtainable, but we want to live in a realm of the impossible, where it takes God to pull off our life, where we live a life full of God-sized dreams. And I want to encourage you, if you missed any of the first three messages, to listen to them online through our iTunes podcast or website, because they very much are foundational for this series. Well, today is going to be very different. What I want to do today is I want to give you a snapshot of what you're involved with as being a part of Coastline Church, because I think a lot of people who serve and who give and who are a part of our church, they don't fully understand what you're involved with, like the big picture. And so we've done a couple things for you today just to help you enlarge your vision and really give you a clear picture of what you're involved with. The first thing we did is we created these legacy brochures, and I want to encourage everybody to take this home with you. This is kind of a snapshot of what you're a part of. This is kind of our stockholders report for the last 12 months of what we've seen God do through our church. And for those of you that tithe and give and serve on the Dream Team, you need to know you're responsible for this. You need to know what your service and time and energy and giving, it's making a difference in the lives of people. And we want you to take this to your devotions and pray over it. Use it as a prayer guide to just pray over what God's doing through this church so that the Spirit of God continues to move here in a very powerful way. And then the other thing we wanted to do for you today is kind of give you just a big picture snapshot through video of everything that's happening around here, everything you're a part of, and what could be if we continue to believe God and trust Him and follow His leading and His Spirit. And so what I want to do today is our team's been working very hard as we've got this video to present to you. And so enjoy this with me. I got a little ahead of the team, but enjoy this with us this morning. You know, we are all part of building this church. Every family, every person, every dream teamer, every giver, every person who prays. And God is blessing it. Psalm 65 verse 11 says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest, and even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." You know, when I think about the last 12 months, the first thing that comes to mind is we're doing a lot, but God's involved in it. God is making even the things that should be very difficult, He's favoring them and blessing them. And so the report I share with you is really hard to believe.
that in the last year, our attendance grew from 350 people each weekend to now over 800 people. Of that, 483 people made decisions for Jesus Christ. 87 people were water baptized. Over 500 people have gone through our Discover course, a 25% increase from the year before. Over 295 people serve each month on the Dream Team. That's one out of every three people in our church. And over 120 people last year went through our Life Small Groups and Life Retreat. We're also able to refinance our mortgage, dropping our interest rate over 3 points, which saved our church $7,000 a month, while we also paid down over $350,000 on our debt, bringing it to now just a little over $2.6 million. And then when you think about our worship team, they released their first original song this year. We've also had to expand all of our services this year, adding new main services and our new youth services, Freedom and Core, which are impacting the teenagers of North County. Then when you think about our national influence that we have with Grow, the ministry that we partner with to resource and train local churches and local church pastors, this year we hosted our first ever one-day Grow Regional Conference. We had close to 200 pastors and leaders from all over the world in attendance right here in our building. And then I think about our church planning efforts nationally with the Association of Related Churches, ARC. This year, we planted 87 new churches. And we already have 100 trained church planners resourced and ready to go for next year. And then our work with the Dream Center in Los Angeles, Operation Christmas Child with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, and what we accomplished through our Christmas tree lot right here at our church to serve our military and families in need during the Christmas season.
I think one of the best things about Operation Christmas Child and being a collection center for Samaritan's Purse is it's a visible demonstration of our mission to reach people for Christ. And you talk about leaving a legacy. I mean, one of my legacies is going to be, you know, how my kids chase after God. And I can remember Tanner when he was just a little boy. He was probably 4 or 5 years old. And he looked at me and he said, "Every time I watch that video, it makes me want to pack another box, Dad." And, I mean, the light bulb came off. It's just so cool when you see, you know, something like this in people's hearts. They just get involved in how to spread the gospel.
Our Dream Team members really have made the difference. They really love on people when they come. And beyond that, you know, we've also, I think, been blessed to see a lot of these military families that maybe haven't attended church on a regular basis find a home in Coastline. And to see their faces in our congregation week after week is also been a huge humbling experience.
And then you go internationally, and you think about what we're involved with in India. Partnering with Global University, our mission is to plant 25,000 churches and equip 30,000 pastors in the next 8 years. And then you go to our specific focus in China, the area that is so near and dear to our heart and our church missionaries, Al and Carol Vendetti. And then to Europe, the darkest place spiritually in the entire world, where we are helping churches in England and Denmark grow right now for the glory of God. And then you go to Israel, where our focus there is with churches that are preaching the gospel in Israel every day and every week. It is overwhelming when you think about how God is blessing our church and what He has given us the ability to do. He has crowned the year with favor, and He has made even things that should be hard and difficult, He's just made them fertile and caused them to grow. And then when you think about what's going on in our children's home in Mexico, which is so very near and dear to our heart as a church, we took on this year full financial responsibility of the home. We started a scholarship fund for each child that grows up in our home to be able to go to college and or trade school. We're also in the process of expanding the capacity of our children's home. It is so amazing to see what God has done. Jesus is building His church, and He's using every one of us, bringing something unique.
So the opportunity that we have through Coastline to visit these kids is not only a value for them because we're providing something that they need desperately, but it's also a great opportunity for us to develop that legacy that we talk about here at Coastline. And it's something that is so valuable and so important.
You know, I think about the future generations, the ones that are coming into our house now. And my prayer is that the generations coming understand. They understand the price that has been paid, the cost and the sacrifice that so many of us have given to open the opportunity for so many people to be touched by God. You know, many want the opportunities, but they don't want to pay the price, the sacrifice. There's always going to be personal cost. There's always dying to self. There's always sacrifice. There's always the laying down of things in order for things like this to happen. And that's been the truth since Jesus taught it 2,000 years ago. And that's the way this house has been built. And it's the way of the future as well. You know, I think we ought to celebrate what God has done, but also renew our vision to continue to build God's house, adding more rooms, more services, more buildings, ministering to more families, marriages, children, and students, and ultimately seeing more people come home.
It's absolutely mind-blowing to think that every single week people are coming to Coastline Church and marriages are being healed. Students are really experiencing a real relationship with Jesus and being passionate about Him and just seeing revival starting right here in our church and God's presence changing lives. It's absolutely incredible.
This is what we're all about. If you've been here for a long time or you're just coming here, we're all going to be on the same page following the four cups. The purpose of the four cups, leading us to be able to serve with an open and loving heart, which is cup number four.
You know, I think we'll always have more vision than resource. We'll always have more vision than the people we need to pull it off or the money we'll need to do it. And that's what keeps us trusting God. But when I think about Coastline Church, I really believe the sky is the limit. You know, we have this incredible foundation of ministry on which to build, and we have God's unprecedented favor on our church. The opportunity is right in front of us. It's better than it has ever been at any time. All we need to do is have faith, believe that God can do even greater things than these, and then have the passion, really grabbing our hearts that everything that we're doing is touching a person. And then make a commitment that we'll pray, we'll give, we'll serve tirelessly, and just continue to work until Jesus returns so that we can see more and more people come home. You know, I think about in a world that is so consumed with itself that more than ever, we need to take up our roles as workers in God's field. Now, I really believe that we can leave a legacy, that we can truly make a difference in our generation. And it happens when every one of us does our part. You know, I heard someone say, none of us is as good as all of us. And I believe that.
In the context of relationships, real change begins to happen because we feel connected. And since life was never meant to be walked alone, small groups gives us that place to feel loved, supported, challenged, encouraged, and even changed.
I see men come to Coastline and become part of the Dream Team. That's how I see a life change in them. You know, being a Christian for a while and coming to church and then going home, turning on the football game, you know, that really didn't cut it, but I thought I was okay. And there's a lot of men who are trying to find their way on their own understanding. And they've come to me and now they're aggressively, you know, finding joy, you know, and the things that they're doing, you know, with the parking, with the security, with the first aid, first responders. I think that's the best part of being here in the family Coastline, you know, that you have the opportunity to serve in the capacity that the Holy Spirit has made you and put you to serve.
We are a body, and all parts of the church body fit together in unity to accomplish one goal. And when I see Coastline Church, I see the dynamic nature and consequences of what we do and how we do it. The beauty of it all is that the person right beside you can be doing things differently than you are. And yet, at the same time, we are all accomplishing one large, far-reaching task. And it's pretty awesome.
It's so important for people to understand their God design and to know their purpose in life. Because when they understand that, when they understand their own purpose and they understand their spiritual gifts in the local church, in Coastline Church, everything changes.
I mean, everything we're doing here at the church, the four cups, all the positive things that are going on, we need faith. Faith in everything we do. And faith is inspirational, but faith also needs participation by you.
So for me, the question of the day is, are we willing to continue to lay aside our personal agendas, to allow ourselves to be used in what God is building? I think it's real easy to think about all that we're doing and forget that this is all about Jesus, that every service, every student, every child, every family, every orphan, we're not just giving them help. We're not just having services and more events. We're pointing them to the hope of humanity, who is Jesus. So I like to think that our real assignment is just to build a home where the hurting, the broken, the lost, where they can come and know the love of the Father. Now, having been raised in the South, I love the old hymns. And one of my all-time favorites has always been, "Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, Come Home." And my favorite line of that hymn is, "Ye who are weary, come home." That's what I think about. Above all the results that we've seen over the last 12 months, you know, there's a tendency to just see the numbers. But my deepest hope is that behind every number, we're able to see that this was a wandering, hurting heart that has come home to find freedom and to find Jesus. Every one of us to really grab the passion that I think Jesus has for the church. I really believe that he's not seeing it in terms of the amount of things that we do or the services or the events or the programs or the small groups or even the buildings. I just think he's consumed with the person. I think he looks across the earth and he sees wandering, lost kids, and he needs a conduit. He needs a vehicle for those kids to find him. And he's only come up with one thing ever. The only thing that he has ever created for that to happen is the local church. So our job is not just to have events and services, because that's what we do. It's to create a place where that wandering soul feels at home, where they feel like, I can come as I am, I can come with my mess, and I can not only find a place of freedom and healing, but I can find a place to belong. And ultimately, every one of those hurting, broken people become, as the Bible says, a living stone. They become alive, and they become a part of the house themselves. And now they're a part of helping other people find Jesus too.
Come on, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. You know, my hope today is that you'll leave here with just a thank you, Jesus, in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. This is your house. It's your church. And I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of it. And I love the theme of that we're not just building, we're not a part of building something, but we're a part of the building itself. That we're living stones. We're not just building a building, but we are that building. And so I want to close this series with just that theme of what does it mean to be a living stone? What does it really mean to be a living stone? You know, I heard a story about three people who were all laying bricks, and they went to the first guy and asked him, "What are you doing?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm laying brick." They went to the second man and they asked him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm building a wall." They went to the third guy and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a great cathedral." Now, they were all doing the exact same thing. They just each had a different perspective about what they were doing. And my desire is that you'll have a different perspective after today, that you'll see this whole thing differently, that you'll see the enormity of what God is doing and what God could do through us as we commit ourselves to legacy. And honestly, it's a little overwhelming for me because I know my limitations. Like, if you honestly knew me as well as I knew me, you would have been clapping a lot louder than you clap, because it would have been amazing to see what God is doing in this place if you really knew me the way I knew myself. And so the real question is, where do we go from here? What does all this mean? What was this whole month about? And that's why we're doing the dinner this Saturday night, is so we can get together and we can talk about what could be. If we partner together and give our lives to follow God, what could be? In your notes, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and today, if you just want to sit back and enjoy it, you don't even need to take notes today. You have total permission to just enjoy it. If you want to do the blanks, feel free, but just enjoy this. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "You also, like living stones, you are the living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." You are the living stones that God is building and forming as the priest, which means when you do your part, when you serve on the dream team, when you're part of this team, seeing this happen, you have to understand you are the minister. You are the I'm not the priest. You are the priest. Like when you're running a camera and communicating the gospel through camera to the cafe and to the internet, you are a priest. When you're down in the children's building and you're with that little four-year-old child that needs someone to pray for them because their parents are going through a divorce, you are a priest. When you're leading a small group, you are a priest. When you're helping direct traffic in the parking lot, you are a priest. You are the royal priesthood. And then look at what Peter says, offering spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices. That means this is going to cost us. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be free. It's going to be a sacrifice. But I want you to look at what kind of sacrifice. It says acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's not just a random sacrifice. It's not just random giving. It's very specific, very intentional. And so the question is your giving acceptable to God? Is your sacrifice acceptable to God? It's what we talked about week one. My pet peeve is we live in a culture that thinks every good deed counts, and not every good deed counts. Only the good deeds that are connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ count. You can feed somebody that's hungry, but a full belly can go to hell as easily as an empty belly can. Yes, we are called to feed and serve and love and give and help, but everything we do has to be connected to the gospel, an acceptable sacrifice to God. And I get the fact that all of us today, we're at different places here. Some of you today, this is your very first time at our church, and you're thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? I mean, this is just like, you know, blowing my mind. We had a first-time family last week after the week that, you remember, I didn't teach. I actually preached last week, and I said, wow, you guys are in for a totally different service. And they said, yeah, you definitely don't get accused of being seeker sensitive here, do you? I said, definitely not. I've never been accused of being seeker sensitive, but you know, we're all at different levels. Some of you are very involved today. You're involved in small groups. You're involved in the dream team. And some of you, you're still just kind of checking it all out, and maybe even a little bit skeptical. And you know what? That's okay. That's all right with us. We encourage you to take your time. Check us out. Be anonymous. Do what you need to do. We can handle that. Take your time. Some of you come from other, you know, kind of church environments where you were so busy and so overworked and so exhausted because you had to do everything that you just want to sit and breathe for a while. You know, I think we should have room for that. I think you should be able to, you know what, you know, you just need to relax for a while and enjoy church again. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge you in three different levels of giving, three different levels of really what it takes to leave a legacy. And I want you to consider this today and just kind of evaluate where you're at and where the Holy Spirit is leading you to be. Here's number one in your notes. It's the level of do what I should do. I mean, there's just this base level. There's a starting point that God has for all of us, and it's a starting point of just doing what I should do. Because there's a lot of people that have never even considered the thought that my life can make a difference in the life of somebody else. Like my life, I can use my life to impact the lives of others, and I just need to start. I just need to get to the baseline, the kind of the beginning point of what should I be doing. It's just what we should be doing. Let me give you an example of this. In the area of giving, in our finances, the baseline, the starting point is tithing. That's the baseline. That's the starting point, is just getting to the place of tithing, where we just return to God the first 10% of everything that he's given us. That's kind of that starting point. And I know for some people that sounds very strict and very legalistic, but you need to know, for me, honestly, it's never been a matter of law or a matter of requirement. It's something that I have always done joyfully. It's what I've decided in my heart to do, because it's an absolute, in light of what Jesus Christ has done for me, it's an absolute honor of my life to return to him what already belongs to him. I mean, it's his anyways, and the fact that I get to return it to him and just recognize that, Jesus, you're first in my life. I'm putting you first in my life. And for some of you today, that's your starting point. That's just kind of the baseline. And let me illustrate this. I have a six-year-old son, and we give him certain responsibilities around the house and ask him to do different things that he should just do because he's a part of our family. It's just, you know, we all got chores. We all got basic responsibilities when we're part of a family. And when he's doing just what he should do, not doing more, but just kind of the baseline, like clean up your room and pick up the trash and just do the normal things, then I'm much more inclined to bless him when he asks for something than when he's not doing what he should do. Like when he comes to me and I want some candy, Dad, if he's, you know, if his room's clean, he's just doing what he should do, I'm much more inclined to bless him. And you know what? God's no different. God's no different. When we're doing what we should do, he's much more inclined to give more and to do more in our life. And that's why Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little, very little. Very little. What's very little? I would say, compared to the 90%, 10% is very little. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling, and look how specific Jesus is here, just so that there's no misunderstanding what he's actually talking about. He says, whoever has not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, he's talking about money here, worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Jesus is being very practical here because he wants some things to happen on this earth. He wants some things to happen. So here's the key word to doing what you should do, and it's faithfulness. That's the key word. It's just a life of faithfulness. And honestly, I know that I'm not speaking today to most people in the room. Because when you look at national averages for churches, we just had our architects in. We're looking at building a new children's building next year, and we're meeting with our architects. We're going to be talking about this at the Legacy Dinner. You know, the architects were looking at our finances and just kind of the size of our church and our church income, and they were shocked because there's a national average of where churches is, and I want you to know that you almost double the national average as a church. And I just say that to honor you. And so I recognize the fact that there's probably only a handful of people that need that point of just getting to do what you should do. Here's the next level. The next level up is number two, do what I could do. There's the level of doing what I should do. And then there's the level of doing what I could do. It's not something I have to do, but it's something I could do. I can decide to take my life, take my giving, take my time, take my talent, take my treasure to another level. And honestly, one of the greatest pleasures in life is knowing that what I did cost me something. I mean, there's no pleasure in giving if it doesn't cost you something. The pleasure comes from knowing it was a sacrifice to do it. And let me say, you cannot leave a legacy without it costing you something. Let me illustrate this. There's a standard on tipping in America. Like when you go to a restaurant to eat with your family, there's a certain standard that we all live by. For some, it's 15%, some it's 18%, some it's 20%. But there's a basic standard. But every once in a while, you're in a restaurant and you just feel led, you feel compelled. You just want to bless the waiter or the waitress beyond what is normal, beyond standard. Maybe she was a single mom and you heard this story and it was a $20 meal and you're going to leave a $100 tip, that leaves a legacy because that'll leave an impression that she's not going to forget. And it's not something you have to do. It's something you could do. It's the next level. It's not what you should do. You know, 15, 18, that's what you should do. This is the next level. It's what you could do. That's why I encourage you today at all the doors as you leave, we're going to have these something extra that show you God loves you cards. And we want you to take them out this week and use them. This is what you could do. It's not what you should do. It's what you could do. When you're in line at Starbucks, buy somebody's coffee and give them a card. When you're at a restaurant, randomly pick a table, pay for their meal and tell the waitress to give them a card. It's just that little bit to show people in our community that God's thinking about you. God loves you. We wanted to bless you today. It's what you could do. For us as a church, that's kind of individually, but corporately as a church, this means we have to ask ourselves, should we do more? As a church, should we do more than what we're doing today? Could we do more than what we're doing today? What does that mean? How do we sacrifice something to make a bigger difference than what we're making today? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul's talking about the church of Macedonia who were living in extreme poverty. I mean, these people were struggling. And Paul says about them, they gave as much as they were able, baseline, and even beyond their ability. They went way above baseline. They went way above what was expected, what was normal. They went beyond. And look at how they did this, entirely on their own. It wasn't prodding of a pastor or manipulation. It was something that they wanted to do. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. It wasn't the pastor going to them. They were the ones going to the pastor saying, let us give more. Let us do more. We can make a bigger impact if we'll sacrifice just a little bit more. And that's the key word to this one, sacrifice. See, what you should do, that's just faithfulness. What you could do, that's a level of sacrifice. And if we're going to leave a legacy as a church, someone has to say, we can do more even if it costs us. We can do more even if it costs us. Let me give you an example. Next month, we're going to do the modern day parable of At the Movies. And you all got these cards in your worship guide today. These tear apart into little invite cards so that you can talk to your neighbors and your coworkers at work. And let me show you how sacrifice works. You're going to go to someone and you're going to invite them to join you at the Movies. And you're going to ask them, well, what time can you come? And they're going to say, well, I can come to the 8 a.m. service. And you're going to be like, oh, I'm not an 8 a.m. person. I'm a 9:30 person. I don't do 8 a.m. And you're now going to have to make a decision. Are you going to sacrifice the time that you like to go to the time that they can go to so that you can help this person that you've been praying for, that you want to see them find Jesus, come and feel comfortable at your church? The question of sacrifice. There's always going to be something required of us to leave a legacy. If that weren't true, everybody would be doing it. See, we're not just building a wall around here. We're not just laying bricks around here. We're building a cathedral, a place where the weary, the lost, the broken, the hurting can come and find a home. So we're not just going to do baseline. We're not just going to tithe, but we're going to go above and beyond. We're going to sacrifice and give for the legacy that God has for us. And then here's the last level. Do what I would do. See, there's what you should do, baseline. There's what you could do, sacrifice. This is a level of faith. This is what would you do? If God showed up and did something supernatural in your life, what would you do? What would I do if? If God ever blank, then I would blank for him. This is the level that is reserved for dreamers. This is a level that is not for living at this attainable, do what I know what I can do level. This is a level of faith. This is for people who want to live impossible lives, who want to believe in God-sized dreams. This is a church filled with people that say, why don't we? What if? What if we did more in Mexico to reach more children? Well, God, if you would, then we would. And see, you need to know that God loves them a lot more than you love them. And God's just looking for some people, for some living stones who will believe in him enough to go rescue some children. He wants some living stones to go and build something to rescue some girls trapped in sex slavery. See, God's got all the ability. He's got all the resources. He's got all the finances. But here's a question. Who would you give it to if you were God? Who would you bless if you were God? I tell you, I'd be giving it to the person who's going to do something with it. I'd be doing it to the person that wanted to live for legacy. And that's exactly why 2 Corinthians chapter 9 makes a lot of sense. Paul says, now he who supplies seed to the sower. See, it's God that supplies the seed. It's God that gives us the ability to generate wealth, the Old Testament says. It's God that gives seed, but God's not fair in how he does it. God doesn't believe in giving everyone the same amount. God gives it based on our ability to sacrifice and use it. It says he gives seed to the sower and bread for food, and he will also supply an increase your store of seed. See, God has the ability to increase your seed. Like what you have right now, God has the ability to increase it. But remember what Jesus said earlier? Jesus said, to him that has, more will be given. So if you're using what you have, God will increase, give you more. But if you're not using what you have for his purposes, he says, even what you have will be taken away. And it goes on to say, Paul says, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. God is looking for some people right now that he can make rich in every way. But look at the catch. There's a so that. There's always a so that. There's always a so that. He's not just trying to make you rich for your sake. There's a so that. So that. Why does he want to make you rich in every way? So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you realize through your giving, people are going to thank God? Through your giving, people are finding Christ. This is what you're responsible for. Those of you that serve, that give, that tithe, this is your reward. You're going to stand in heaven one day. I'm not going to be rewarded any more than you are for the for what God is doing in this church. The 483 people who have made decisions for Christ in the last 12 months, you're going to stand in heaven one day as a part of this church, and there's going to be a line of people saying thank you to God, giving thankfulness to God, and saying thank you to you because you gave and made a difference in their life. You gave to see this thing happen. And please understand, God doesn't want to increase or prosper you so that he can increase your standard of living. It's not about your standing or living. God wants to prosper you so he can increase your standard of giving. See, there's a big difference. He wants to bless you so he can increase your standard of giving. And I want God to look down on our church and see a group of dreamers. God, if you ever, then we will. I pray constantly, God, bless this church. Bless us to do more. Give us the ability to do more. This is just the first time we've ever. Can you imagine what this brochure is going to look like in 5 years? What we have the ability to accomplish as a church. And so here's the key word for this one, faith. Faith. See, what you should do, that's faithfulness. What you could do, that's sacrifice. What you would do, that's a life of faith. That's a life of believing God for crazy stuff. Believing God for impossible dreams. Believing God to use you to do something so amazing. And that's why we're going to have dinner next Saturday and just talk about what if, what could be. What do we have the ability to do if we partner with God? What could the next 5 to 10 years look like? See, the opposite of faith is when you don't have hope, when you're not believing for anything, when you're not dreaming, when you're not planning. See, we want to be a church that's full of dreams. It's full of hope. It's full of belief because we serve a God that is so incredible, that is so amazing. He's just looking for somebody he can trust. So why not us? Why can't we be a church that God trusts? Why can't we be a church that says, God, we'll use it. If you've got it, we'll use it and we'll change people's lives. We'll make a difference with your power and for your glory. Not for ourselves, it's for him. It's all for him. And so I'm going to leave you with these two verses as we close this series. Psalm 112, verse 9. They share freely and give generously to those in need. I'd love for that to be said about our church. Coastline Church shares freely. And they give generously to those that are in need. Their good deeds, the good deeds of our church, will be remembered forever. That's legacy. And they will have influence and honor. And then lastly, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've used this a couple times during this series. It's Paul commanding young Timothy. Timothy's a pastor. And Paul's telling Timothy, if you're going to be a pastor, this is one of the things you have to do. So this applies to me. So one of my responsibilities today is this verse. This is kind of a command from the Apostle Paul on pastors today. So I'm going to obey. It says, command them to do good. So, Coastline Church, I'm commanding you. Do good. Commanding you to do good. I'm commanding you, Coastline Church, to be rich in good deeds. I'm commanding you to be generous and willing to share. In this way, you will lay up treasure for yourself as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. It's the greatest life you'll ever live. This is true life. So I'm commanding you, be generous, be rich in good deeds, make a difference, leave a legacy. Let's do it together. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? You know, the driving force of our church is for people to have an opportunity to come home. And there's people here today, your baseline, your starting point is you need to come home. You need to come home and say yes to Jesus today. You need to understand God does not want to be your religion. God wants to be your father. And he's building a family, and he desperately wants you to come home and be a part of that family. And so I want to give you an opportunity before we close. If you're here today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you need to put him first. That's the starting point. Forget about everything else until you've done that. You can't do any of the other stuff until you've done that. Until God's first in your life, nothing else works. And so I want to pray with you, and I'm not going to take a long time. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or walk down to the front. You don't even have to pray out loud. God will hear your heart this morning if you'll just open your heart to Him. But if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, it's time. It's time I get to the starting point of putting Jesus first in my life, to really surrender myself to Him. If that's you, with every eye closed, if you want to join me in a very simple prayer today, just slip up your hand so that I know who I'm praying with. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. It says, I need to put Jesus first today. Thank you. The prayer is simple. Just in your heart right now, say, Jesus, today I invite you to take total control. I want you to be first. I'm giving you my life. Just in your own words, communicate that to Him. Now in your heart, just say, Jesus, I ask that you forgive me for all the areas where I've just missed it. And then lastly, Jesus, thank you for your grace. In your name, amen. You can look up for a moment. If you prayed with me today, I want to encourage you to take one more step on your connection card. There's two boxes. One says, I'm committing my life to Christ. One says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. Whatever decision you made in prayer this morning, check one of those boxes. Drop it off in one of the tithe and offering boxes as you leave so that we can pray for you. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make, and we just want to pray God's blessing over you and just know who you are so we know who we're praying for. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? I want to encourage you again, if you want to join us next Saturday night, email us at legacy@coastlinechurch.org. It's going to be a great night of dreaming together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this series. Lord, that even now, psychologists are discovering that the highest level of human living and human existence is a level of transcendence, living our life for others. God, that's been in your word for thousands and thousands of years. You're the one that created us that way. And you're the only one that can really help us get there. And so I pray, God, for this church, that we would be a church and a people of legacy, people of transcendence, that this wouldn't be about us today, but it would be about your lost children, the ones that haven't found their way home yet, that we would be a church driven to rescue them, to find them, to bring the message of you, the loving Father, to kids that are hurting right now. And that would be the driving force of our church, because we work with men and women. They'd be 50, 60 years old, and inside they're a lost child longing for a home. On the outside, they've got everything together. Beautiful home, cars, family. But inside, they're hurting and they're lost. And they don't know what to do. And you've placed us in their life to make a difference. Let us make the difference you've called us to make. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Be inspired. Take your legacy brochure and please pray over it with us.